So we're going to be looking at the sin offering tonight, part one and part two. And it's not too long, but there's a lot to it, and we may want to focus in on certain parts, but it had to be the whole thing. I read it a couple of times today, and I just felt I have to read the whole thing. So here we go to keep the flow. This offering too is Christ talking about the sin offering. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, speaking of Christ, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. How was Christ made sin? Galatians 4, verse 4, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, which we were talking about earlier, made under the law, made of a woman, made under the law. What does that mean? One made of a woman, Psalms 51, verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And number two, made under the law, Galatians 3, verses 22 to 24. But the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith of Christ came, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Nevertheless, Philippians 2, verses 7 and 8, nevertheless empties himself, taking the form of a slave, coming to be in the likeness of humanity, and being found in fashion as a human, he humbles himself, becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's the CLV version. This is the first offering that so much as mentions sin. All the offerings to this point, as different as they have been, have not mentioned sin. They have to this point been sweet to God. They have been necessary sacrifices to approach God, but they have not dealt with that which offends God. The sin and the trespass offerings are not sweet savor offerings. These two offerings deal with confessed and judged sin. Sin must be seen as exceedingly sinful, hateful, and rebellious. The sin offering is not burnt on the altar like the sweet savor offerings. It is burnt on wood, on the bare ground outside the camp. Leviticus 4, verses 11 and 12. And the skin of the bullock and of his flesh with his head and with his legs and his inwards and his dung, even the whole bullock shall he carry forth without the camp unto a clean place where the ashes are poured out and burnt, and burn him on the wood with fire, where the ashes are poured out shall he be burnt. The whole bullock, the skin of the bullock and all his flesh, with his head and with his legs and with his inwards and his dung, was to be burnt on wood with fire where the ashes are poured out. This is exactly what happened to Christ. The fire burnt up the wood and the flesh without the camp. Hebrews 13, verses 11 to 13. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burnt without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Without the camp signifies Christ and our rejection. We, like Christ, are without the camp of God's people, and it is a burning, fiery experience which is burning out all the wood, hay, and stubble in us all. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 11 to 13. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. What is sin? Here is the first verse in the Bible which contains the word sin, Genesis 4, verse 7. If you do well, shall you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin, chetah or chetah, lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. This is the same Hebrew word translated sin offering in Leviticus and Numbers and elsewhere. Should this read sin offering? Question. There are many who think that it should. The Holy Spirit does not think so. Let's look at how this word is used. Genesis 18, verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin, 2403, is very grievous. Should this word be translated sin offering? Were the sin offerings of Sodom very grievous? How absurd. Genesis 31, verse 36. And Jacob was wroth and chode with Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, what is my trespass? What is my sin that you have so hotly pursued after me? Should this read, what is my sin offering that you so hotly pursued after me? Absurd. Judges 20, verse 16. Among all this people, there were 700 chosen men, left-handed. Everyone could sling stones at a hairbreadth and not miss. That's 2403 again. Deuteronomy 19, verse 15. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity. That's 5771 Evon. Evon. Or for any sin. 2403. Chata. In any sin. 2399. Chet. That he sinneth, 2398, chatta, at the mouth of two witnesses, or at the mouth of three witnesses, shall the matter be established. That's an important distinction there, two or three. What is the word for offering? Question mark. Is there a Hebrew word for offering? Well, of course there is. Here is the word offering right here in Leviticus. Leviticus 1, verse 2. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering, that's Hebrews 7:1-3:3, korban or korban, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, unto the Lord, you shall bring your offering, the same word, 7:1-3:3, of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. All offerings are korban or korban to God, either as approach presents or as presents for expiation of sins. So why is not korban or korban used with the word chata, chata? It is not used because the Holy Spirit wants us to see that, Psalms 51:5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Look at what Christ had to say about this word in the New Testament. Mark 7, verses 7 to 13. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things, like things you do. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whoso curses father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever you might be profited by it, by me, he shall be free. And you shall suffer him no more to aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things do you. And to this day, urbano is being used as an excuse to, is that the right word? Yeah, to as an excuse to neglect family responsibilities and to line the pockets of today's priests. What then is the word translated offering in Leviticus where sin and trespass are in view? So what is that word? The truth is that the word offering is not used in the Hebrew when speaking of a sin offering or a trespass offering. The only word used is the word translated sin here in Genesis 4, Genesis 4, verse 7. If you do well, shall you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin, chata, lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So chata, achata, is all that appears throughout Leviticus in reference to a sin offering. The word offering is understood and is not provided in the Hebrew. And the word offering is never there when speaking of a sin offering. All the Hebrew actually says is sin. Here are the verses which originally instituted the ritual of the sin offering, Leviticus 4, verses 1 to 3. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul sin, shata, through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin, chata, according to the sin, ashma, of the people, then let him bring for his sin, that's chata, which he hath sinned, chata, a young bullock, without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. Once again, chata, 2403. So there are some, yeah, same thing. Leviticus 1:2, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. Here is the word chata, achata, in the New Testament, in 1 John 3, verse 4 in the KJV. Whosoever committeth sin, transgresseth also the law, for sin, hamartia, is the transgression of the law. In the CLV version, it reads this way: everyone who is doing sin is doing lawlessness also, and sin is lawlessness. If you do not well, sin lies at the door. What lies at the door? Sin lies at the door. And what are the chances of doing well? Question mark. John 8:43, why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Romans 8, verses 7 and 8. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So, now in that case, we're talking about the Spirit of God, not the law of Moses, right? And this is what we talked about. And we know that the Lord preps our studies with our conversations and questions. So there it is. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. But with Christ in us, of course, we can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You cannot hear my word. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. What hope then has man to be saved? Is not flesh itself sin? Psalms 51, verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. How was David shapen and conceived? He and we are shapen in iniquity and conceived in sin. Was he simply shapen in flesh, but not in sin? Is that what scriptures teach? You be the judge. I was shapen in iniquity and conceived in sin. Why cannot flesh and blood inherit the kingdom of God? It is simply because, simply because it is flesh, but not corrupted flesh. Is that what the scriptures teach? You be the judge. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. We must all be brought to see sin as exceeding sinful. rebellious, evil, hateful, and tenacious. And we must come to see this as our natural state, the very makeup of flesh, shapen in iniquity and conceived in sin. Only then will we truly appreciate the fact that Christ, by coming in that same composition, being made sin, and yet knowing no sin, has met all of those deficits which we have incurred. And I just love this section because this is really like the heart and core of what we're talking about here. This is the first offering, which is not a sweet-smelling savor. This is the first offering, which is not to have any part of it burnt on the altar. This offering is to be burnt on the ground outside the camp. This offering, and this is the point Mike is driving home, this is how what God thinks of flesh. It has to go, and it has to go thoroughly and completely, the whole root and the branch. This offering, like all the offerings, is Christ. But this offering is Christ as sin. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, a sin offering, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The words to be are not in the Greek. The Greek reads, for he hath made him sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The offerings truly prove that Christ is both the beginning Adam and the last Adam. Is Christ the first Adam? No. Christ is the last Adam. But inasmuch as Christ created the first Adam, a sinning machine to be destroyed, resurrected and renewed, Christ is both the beginning and the end. The evening comes before the morning. Genesis 1, verses 1 to 5. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. The darkness was upon the face of the deep first. Then, afterward, God divided the light from the darkness. Or, as he puts it in another place, he called light out of darkness. Darkness and evil precedes light and righteousness. Like the natural and the flesh precede the spirit. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45 and 46. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterwards, that which is spiritual. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Romans 5, verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Is Christ darkness and sin? No, 1,000 times no. Did Christ create darkness and sin? Yes, 1,000 times yes. Isaiah 45, verse 7. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Proverbs 16, verse 4. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. Did Christ come in sinful flesh? Yes, he did. Romans 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, going back to the law, the law of Moses, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. But doesn't this verse say likeness? Surely the scripture is not saying that Christ's flesh was really sinful flesh. What does this word likeness mean? Does it really mean that Christ's flesh wasn't really sinful flesh? Is that the real significance of this word likeness? Let's look at how this word is used. This word appears five other times in the New Testament. Perhaps this will show us how this word likeness is to be understood, and then we will know what was the composition of Christ's flesh. Romans 6, verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Are we to believe that we aren't really to be planted in the likeness of Christ's death? Are we to deny that our resurrection is not really a resurrection? Philippians 2, verse 7. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. This verse is really a repetition of Romans 8, verse 23. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. Was Christ not really a man? Is that what we are being told? Romans 1, verse 22 and 23. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God, Christ, into an image made like to corruptible man. And to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Speaking of God and of Christ and of his Christ, we are those who profess themselves to be wise not really guilty of changing the glory of the corruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man? Revelation 9, verse 7. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. Are these symbolic locusts not really as powerful as horses? Do they not really bear rule as a crown would symbolize? Are they in reality nothing at all like men? So the question is going back now is, was Christ a man? Was he in sinful flesh? And of course, the answer is yes. Romans 5, verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude, the likeness of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Must we all commit the exact same sin which Adam sinned before we are guilty of sin? Was Cain's murder of his brother Abel not sin simply because it was not in the likeness of Adam's transgression? And finally, was Christ's flesh not really sinful flesh simply because the Greek word homoioma is used to tell us what kind of flesh Christ had? Or does homoioma actually mean that Christ's flesh was just as human as our resurrected bodies are spiritual? It should be obvious to any spiritually honest student of God's word that Christ's flesh was nothing more or less than sinful flesh. Romans 8:3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's the KJV. And in the ASV, him who knew no sin, he made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In the DRB, what's the DRB? The Darby. Him who knew no sin, he hath made sin for us, that we might be made the justice of God in him. Sin for us, that is to be a sin offering, a victim for sin. For him and the YLT, Young's literal, For him who did not know sin, in our behalf, he did make sin, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. And that's part one and two of the sin offering. And written by Mike Vincent back 16 years ago. Thank you, Mike, and thank you all for coming out.